We're doing a quick overview of what's to come now between Rosh Hashanah and the next month, Cheshvan. So we had yesterday Tzom Gedaliah, the fast of Gedaliah ben Achikam, who was assassinated. And with his assassination, whatever remained in Israel was exiled, and that was the completion of the exile with the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, the first temple. So that's part one. This Shabbat is called Shabbat Shuvah, based on the prophecy that we read in the Haftarah. Shuvah Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, return Israel to Hashem your God. Traditionally, the rabbi gives a speech on this Shabbos. I don't think you have a speech here in the Machon, but all the shuls all around here, the rabbi will give a speech, and the speech ordinarily speaks about how to do tshuva and the laws of Yom Kippur. On Wednesday, Be'ezrat Hashem, we have Yom Kippur. We prepare for Yom Kippur by eating and drinking a lot, for sure, a day beforehand, and then we have the final meal, which is a festive meal. This isn't Tisha B'Av. We have like a Shabbos meal. We get ready. We have haircuts. We wear nice clothing. We take showers. Some people go to mikvah. Some people do kaparot now, especially on the eve of Yom Kippur. Some will take a chicken. Some will take money. They wave around their head three times. They say, "Ze chalifati, ze tmurati, ze kaparati." This is going to be instead of me. This will be in place of me. This will be my atonement. The angel who's in charge of life is called Chatach. So Chalifati Tmurati Kaparati is the acronym of his name. And the angel in charge of life is called Chatach. And so, and then we say a verse, a chapter in Psalms, and then we do it a second time and a third time, and then we give either that chicken or that money to the poor. There is a custom on the eve of Yom Kippur to bless our children. On the eve of Rosh Hashanah, we had an altar vows, each person individually in front of a court, right? What we do call Atarat Nedarim. On the eve of Yom Kippur, we prepare ourselves. It's not a day to be traveling too much. Get to where you have to be. We are preparing for the great day. It is recommended to have some paper and pen with you in general in these 10 days, specifically on that final day, and start making lists of what you're davening about. So when you stand there in shul, you know what you're talking about. When we will daven on Yom Kippur, we will numerous times say, Ashamnu, bagadnu, chatanu, we've done this wrong, we've done that wrong. If you know you've done other things wrong, so get your own listing. A person should have a machzor, which is in a language that he could understand, so that when we daven on Yom Kippur, we could understand what we're saying. A person should prepare. I've been traveling for a month with the machzorim of Yamim Noraim in preparation, and I do this every year. Take a machzor, you learn what you're going to say, so you have intention.
But do they give you an opportunity to, like, think about or pray on your own list?
You don't have to. Yeah, you know, you could stick your list into the list that's there. You're supposed to. The list that's there is an encompassing list. There's time. You don't have to keep up with anyone. You pray at your pace. We prepare by eating and drinking a lot. If a person knows they have a medical issue, they should ask a local Orthodox rabbi. People with diabetes generally don't fast on Yom Kippur. Every person will check with their rabbi. Pregnant and nursing mothers very often can fast, but they need specific instructions. And sometimes they don't fast because it's dangerous for them or the baby. People who have other conditions have to consult with their doctor and their rabbi if it's correct for them to fast. When we say everyone fasts on Yom Kippur, that is everyone who is healthy for them, everyone who won't be hurting their health by doing it. You're not supposed to risk your health by doing it. Even if a person thinks they're going to pass out, that's reason enough not to fast or to consult with the rabbi what to do. Maybe spend the fast in bed, if that would resolve it. Ideally, we're supposed to fast, we're supposed to be in shul. What are the five things we don't do on Yom Kippur? We don't eat or drink. We don't anoint ourselves. We don't
wear
leather shoes. We don't wash, right? Even when we wash our hands in the morning, it'll only be till the knuckle. And we aren't intimate with our spouses, so Those are the five inuim, the five applications of what the Torah says, afflict yourself. So you don't have to beat yourself. It means on those five fronts, we don't do those things on Yom Kippur.
So
you could wear Crocs. Yeah.
Washing is in, you don't shower.
Correct. Yom Kippur, we don't shower. When you wash your hands, it's up to the knuckles. If your hands got dirty, you changed a diaper or something, so then you could clean off the dirt. That's okay. A person was walking outside, a car went by and splattered him with mud. He could wash himself up. Right? So dirt we're allowed to remove. The fast is unique. The fast runs from Shkia, and we have from sundown until the next night the stars come out. We are supposed to add on to the fast. We don't go to the hairline. We start the fast a few minutes early when the sun is still out. We come to shul early. We wear a talis for all of the tefillot, those that wear a talis. Ashkenazim have the custom of wearing a kittel, a white robe. And the prayer begins with Al dat ha-makom ve'al dat ha-kahal. I'm asking permission from the omnipresent. I'm asking permission from the congregation. B'shiva shel ma'ala. I'm asking the heavenly court. U'v'shiva shel ma'ata. And I'm asking the court below. Anu matirin. We are permitting להתפלל עם העבריינים, to pray with the wanton sinners. Yom Kippur begins with a declaration. We are hereby permitting even those people who purposely leave their shop open on Shabbat, and they have their radio blasting from their car as they drive by the shul, and they're always the ones who are avaryanim. We know that they are purposely doing things that are wrong. And the rest of the year, if they wanted to come to shul and get an aliyah, we'd say, close your store. What do you come to shul asking for an aliyah when your store is open on Shabbos? But on Yom Kippur, we say we want everyone united. So we begin Yom Kippur. Before the day settles in, we ask permission from the whole congregation, the heaven above, below, everyone. We say, let's grant permission. We're going to turn a blind eye so that there's unity on Yom Kippur. Everyone should be in shul. And the Talmud says that when you have a fast day, it is only acceptable in heaven if everyone was allowed to attend shul. If there was unity even with the sinners. So that means we're supposed to turn a blind eye in Yom Kippur. If a guy wants to come to shul and you see he has a cell phone in his pocket, you might ask him to leave it outside so it doesn't disrupt davening. But begadol, we don't make an issue of it. On the contrary, we want everyone present. We want everyone there. And before Yom Kippur, we ask people forgiveness if we know we've done something wrong to them. There's a Hasidish custom that in the morning, before Yom Kippur, the Gabbai gives out candies and everyone asks him for a candy. And the idea behind it is, if it was decreed in heaven that you should have to ask for food this year, you should have fulfilled it by asking the Gabbai for a candy before Yom Kippur came in. So in heaven, so to speak, you're saying, if I was supposed to ask for food this year, I did mine. Make it count as though that was what I was supposed to do. On Yom Kippur, the davening is long, like Rosh Hashanah at night, and then afterwards you have 2-3 hours, you have nothing to do, you might as well learn. We're going to read the book of Yonah. It's recommended to learn that. You could learn the tractate Yuma in the art scroll. Yonah is in the 12th. We read Yonah as the Haftarah of Mincha. The story of Yonah has many themes for us. Maybe we'll still learn part of it tonight. In the course of the coming days, we will, Be'ezrat Hashem, learn the whole book. By Monday night, we will finish the book of Yonah, Be'ezrat Hashem. You could also learn Tractate Yuma, because in the day, we describe what was the process in the temple. So you have to know what the process was. Well, if you study it, you'll know it. It's not hard. You just got to go over it. And that's part of what's described in the prayer. We pray the morning prayer, we read from the Torah, and then we read the Musaf. In the Musaf, when the Chazan repeats Musaf, he recounts how we would numerous times bow down together with the Kohen Gadol, and every time he says it, we all bow down with him on the floor, just like we did once on Rosh Hashanah. We're going to do this numerous times on Yom Kippur, together with the Chazan. And after Musaf, very often we have a break. During that break, you could catch a nap. We come back for Mincha. After Mincha, we have a special prayer called Ne'ilah, the closing of the gates. It's the final prayer of Yom Kippur. And after that, we daven Arvit and we're done. We blow shofar at the end of Ne'ilah. That's a sign that, so to speak, Hashem's presence came down to be with us in the beginning of Yom Kippur. And the end of Yom Kippur, Hashem's presence is leaving. So we blow shofar, so to speak, as a sign that the heavenly court is leaving us. Yom Kippur is a day of love. It says Satan is referred to in Torah as HaSatan, the Satan. HaSatan is the numerical value of 354. HaSatan. Yeah? 364, I'm sorry. There are 365 days a year. He can talk about us 364 days a year. On one day a year, he's not given permission to talk, and that's on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, we're like angels. We don't eat. On Yom Kippur, we're not busy with our families. We're busy praying. On Yom Kippur, we're not fighting with anyone. We're united. So that's a way of saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, we want to be close to you. This is who we want to be. It's okay to cry in Yom Kippur. It's okay to have your own conversation with God on Yom Kippur. You should. We all have hopes. We all have regrets. Yom Kippur is the time to talk to our Creator about it. After Yom Kippur, we have 5 days till Sukkot. Okay? Not a lot of time, especially this year. You have Shabbos in the middle, so you really don't have a lot of time. You have to get yourself 4 species. Lulav, Etrog, Aravot, Hadassim. Make sure you have someone there who you trust. A, that the species are kosher, that they're really what they should be, and that they're not selling you an oversized lemon. Don't just go buying in the shuk from someone that seems nice. Buy from a reliable source. We'll discuss this at greater length next week. And then make sure you have a place to eat your meals and to daven on Sukkot. The first day of Sukkot, we have to sit in a sukkah. So hopefully you guys won't be on your own. You'll be hosted. It's a Yom Tov, so we eat after the Yom Tov davening, we eat Yom Tov meals in a sukkah. The first night, we have to eat in a sukkah.
Isn't it the whole sukkah?
All of Sukkot. If you're going to eat bread, you have to eat in a sukkah. If you want to live on crackers, you don't have to eat in a sukkah. If you want to live on apples, okay, apples. If you want to eat other stuff, you don't have to be in a sukkah.
In which other ways is the Yom Tov, both Yom Tovs and Sukkot, different from the days in between?
We don't do work. It's like any Yom Tov. We don't turn on a fire. We don't go in a car. And we have the Yom Tov prayer, and we have the Yom Tov meals. It's almost like Shabbos. The only difference is you could transfer a fire. We have the first day of Sukkot, and then we have 6 days of Chol HaMoed. On every day of the Chol HaMoed, we shake the 4 species in davening and in the Hallel. And then the last day is called Hoshana Rabbah. Every day of Sukkot, we go around the Bima once. We go around the center in the temple. They would do it around the Mizbeach. We do it around the Bima. On the 7th day, Hoshana Rabbah, we go around 7 times. And after we finish the 7 times, we finish shaking our lulav and esrog. We finished our mitzvah for Sukkot. The last day of Sukkot, what's called Shemini Atzeret, you don't have to sit in a sukkah. You don't shake lulav and esrog. It's on that last day of Chol HaMoed, meaning the in-between days, where you could do work, where you could drive a car, where you could talk on your phone. It's on those in-between days, the last of those days, the 6th day of Chol HaMoed. It's called Hoshana Rabbah. That's the 7th day of Sukkot, right? You have the first day of Sukkot, then 6 days of Chol HaMoed. And on that day, so we have our parting meal with the sukkah, and we have a custom to take 5 aravot and beat them on the ground at the end of the evening, as you'll see everyone does. And then we have the final day of Chol HaMoed. There is a custom to learn the night before that, to learn the whole night. So you guys are invited to our house, to our sukkah in Kochav Yaakov. Every year, Baruch Hashem, we have learning there, Hoshana Rabbah night. Some years we run until the morning, till 4 or 5 in the morning. Some years we end at 11, 11:30, so you guys can catch the last bus back. Depends on the koach. This year, Hoshana Rabbah falls out on a Sunday. That means that Motzei Shabbat, you guys will probably be somewhere for Shabbat. So on Motzei Shabbat, we will have the Hoshana Rabbah learning by us and Kochav Yaakov. You guys are invited.
The learning you do is it's discussion type of learning?
Yeah, like Thursday night, yeah.
Cool.
So you have to let me know if you're coming, because then I'll gear it to English speakers, which is what I usually do.
The last day of Sukkot?
So it's Matzei Shabbos. Sunday is the last day of Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah. Sunday is the last day, and the learning is the night before Hoshana Rabbah. We finish on Hoshana Rabbah afternoon, we have a parting meal in the Sukkah, and then we enter Shmini Atzeret, the last day of Sukkot, the eighth day. You no longer have to sit in the Sukkah, no Lulav and Esrog, but what do? Then we celebrate concluding the Torah. We have a custom to end reading the Torah on Shmini Atzeret, so we also call it Simchat Torah. And so at night we read the Torah in Shul and we dance with the Torah a lot. And by day we read the Torah in Shul and dance with the Torah a lot. And that's the last day of Sukkot, which is a day which we really celebrate the learning of Torah. We finish the reading of Torah and start again with Bereishit. And that's the celebration of Simchat Torah and Shmini Atzeret. Then you guys have off for another week. And then we rejoin over here in the beginning of the month of Cheshvan for our long winter session. That's the plan in a nutshell. During Chol HaMoed, there are a few things you guys should do. Number one is visit Rav Listman. He usually has a barbecue in his house one day Chol HaMoed. Stay tuned. Number two is at nights in the different Hasidish Batei Medrash, they have very nice dancing and singing. You could go, stay on the outskirts of the circle, don't go inside, because the dancing there can be very, 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 very strong to the point where people can get trampled on. So, and there are big Hasidim. Saying, and in Hasidish circles, it's not considered impolite to push. It's part of the society. People push. And so, yeah. So you might want to go see it, take a night, and go around and look. You might want to go. It's an experience. Rav Natan Siegel, he should be well. He used to take the guys on a tour. I don't know if there's anyone giving a tour this year, but it's worth taking the night and going out there and seeing it. That's our schedule in a nutshell.